After God destroyed Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, Moses and the children of Israel lifted up their voices in jubilation and sang a song of victory unto the Lord. This was a great moment in the history of Israel. God's promise of deliverance from Egyptian bondage had been fulfilled, and the children of Israel were now free from the slavery of their enemies. Not only were they out of Egypt, but their persecutors were at the bottom of the Red Sea. This indeed was a moment to rejoice and sing praises unto the God of heaven. We're told that Moses led the singing, and that all the children of Israel joined with Moses as they lifted up their voice in praise to God. We're also told that Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, with the women of Israel, sang and danced before the Lord. That word danced there, it means chorus. In other words, they sang praises to God and they leapt for joy. Such was the rejoicing. Because of this great victory that the God of heaven had given to Israel at the Red Sea, that the whole nation were united together in their praise to God. This song of victory and the way in which it was conducted brought great honor to the Lord. It was indeed worship that was well pleasing to the God of Israel. Very simply today, as we come to the end of our service, I want us to consider this song of victory in Exodus chapter 15. And there's a number of things, very simply, that I want you to notice. Child of God, we need, I believe, to learn to praise God more in this 21st century. The God of heaven is worthy of our praise and worship. And I pray that even a brief study of this song of victory today will teach us afresh how much we ought to lift up our voices in praise to the God of glory. We have so much to praise God about in this day and age in which we live. And I pray that as we leave God's house today, that we'll be able to say it was good for us to be here, because here the Lord spoke afresh to our hearts and to our souls. What do we learn here? Well, first of all, I want you to notice the timing of this song of victory. Look what it says there in Exodus 15, verse 1. It says, "Then sang Moses." Underline the word "then." When? At what moment in time did Moses and the children of Israel begin to sing this song of victory? Well, they began to sing this song of victory at the moment of total deliverance. And that's the point I want you to underline. After deliverance from Egypt, after God defeated their enemies, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. It is interesting to note that up until this point, not one single word of praise had been heard from the lips of the children of Israel. Instead, what was heard were cries of unbelief and sighs and groanings of defeat. And of course, if you take the time to turn back to Exodus chapter 2 and take a look at verse 24 and 25, you will see that to be the case. But in Exodus 15, their sighing is turned into singing, and their groans is turned into praising. God's deliverance inspired Israel's hearts to sing praises unto God. It's important that we note that. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. When they were totally delivered from Egypt, and when their enemies were totally defeated as far as Pharaoh and his army was concerned. You know, child of God, you and I have much to sing about. We have much to praise God about, haven't we? He has delivered us from hell and from judgment to come. He has redeemed us by his own precious blood. He has defeated all our enemies. He has forgiven us for our sins. He has given unto us his wonderful and eternal salvation. And surely if there's a day and age when you and I as God's people need to lift up our hearts and sing praises unto God, it is this day and age in which we live. Because he has given unto us, his people, a perfect and a complete salvation. We're heaven bound. Someday we're going to see the King in all his glory. And no one, not even the devil himself, can take away this wonderful redemption and wonderful salvation that the Lord has given to us. In Psalm 9, verses 1 to 3, the psalmist said this, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And in Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist said, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Isn't it true what the psalmist has said? That the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. God's mercy does not just endure for a time. It does not just endure for a number of years, but it is everlasting. The salvation that God has given unto us, child of God, is eternal. And although these bodies of ours will die and corrupt and congeal away in the grave someday, thank God our souls will eternally be with Christ. What a glorious redemption we have. And of course the day will come when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again, when the body that has been placed in Mother Earth will be resurrected again and reunited to the soul. We read a wonderful verse in Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Here's what the prophet said. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. What a glorious and eternal salvation God has given to us. Child of God, you and I need to learn to praise the God of heaven more in these days in which we live. I want you to underline Hebrews 13 verse 15 in your Bible. Just turn over to it. Let me read it to you. What a wonderful text of scripture it is. Here we have the apostle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says to God's people. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. O child of God, is the praise of God continually upon your lips? Is it continually flowing from your heart? And you know, even when times are hard and we're in the valley experience, let us never forget to lift up our hearts to God and praise. Habakkuk 3, I'm sure that you're familiar with the text. Let me read it. Verses 17 to 19. Here we have Habakkuk under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is what he says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Oh, what a wonderful portion of scripture that is. You know, it's easy to praise and to worship God when we're on the mountain top. But here we're reminded that even in the valley experience, we are to sing praises unto God. Because although our circumstances change, although our health may fail, one thing never changes and one thing never fails, dear beloved child of God, and that is God's eternal redemption that he has given unto us.
He has given unto us eternal life, and we shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck us out of his hand. Oh, the time of this song of deliverance. It was a time when God had delivered them from their bondage. God has delivered us from our bondage. God has set us free. He has given us eternal life, and we will never perish. Neither will any man pluck us out of his hand. Now turn back to Exodus chapter 15. I want you to notice something else. Not only the timing of this song of victory, I want you to notice the triumph in this song of victory. The triumph in this song was the faith of Moses and the children of Israel. Now, we've already made mention of the faith of Moses and the children of Israel, but I want you to see this more clearly here. Very clearly, we can see the personal faith of Moses and the Israelites. Look at verse 2. Look what it says. The Lord is my strength. It's personal. Underline the word my. Moses here and the children of Israel are singing a song of personal faith in the Lord. The Lord is my faith, my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Underline the word my again. He is my God. Isn't that tremendous? You know, there's a wonderful psalm. I want you to turn to it. Psalm 106. Here, the psalmist verifies that this song in Exodus 15 declared the faith of Moses and the children of Israel. Take a look there at Psalm 106 and verse 8. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Now underline verse 12. Then believed. That's faith. Then believed. They his words. They sang his praise. Their faith was in the God of heaven. That's what is being taught here in the psalm, and that's what's being taught in Exodus 15 and verse 2. The triumph in their song was the triumph of faith in the God of glory. Men and women, faith in God will cause us to rejoice in him. The psalmist said in Psalm 144 verse 15, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. In Psalm 146 verse 5, the psalmist said, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. When we have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we know him as Savior and Lord, then we will rejoice and be a happy people. Faith, true faith in Jesus Christ will cause us to triumph day by day in our Christian lives. Oh, let me ask you a very simple question today. Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your faith in the God of heaven? Have you a personal faith in him? In other words, can you look back to a day in your life when you were saved by the grace of God? John Yeats wrote that wonderful hymn, encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. My friend, do you know anything of this kind of faith? This kind of faith is saving faith. This kind of faith is based upon God's word. Without this kind of faith, you will never reach heaven and you will never please the God of heaven. Indeed, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. I wonder, have you a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today? If you have, then
thank God, you will lift up your heart and you will praise the God of heaven for his mercy and for his grace. You need to come today, if you're not saved, and trust Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. In John 6, verse 28 and 29, we read these words, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And this is what the Lord Jesus said to them in verse 29. Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." And who did the Father send? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent his only begotten Son into the world to die upon a cross and shed his precious blood for your sins and my sins. And thank God, he finished the work of redemption. And after he had finished the work of redemption, the Bible tells us that he rose again. Oh, this is the one that you need to trust in today. Child of God, you and I can rejoice and praise God. We can sing praises to God this afternoon. Why? Because he has given us the gift of faith. And he has given us the gift of eternal life. And thank God today we can continue to trust in him, because what he has promised in his word, he will fulfill right to the very end. Oh, you can see the triumph of faith. You can see the triumph in the song, the triumph of faith. I pray today, my friend, if you're here without faith in God and in his word, because we emphasized in our last study the importance of putting our faith in the promises of God and putting our faith in what his Son has done for us upon Calvary's cross. If you haven't put your faith and trusted him up until this moment in your life, that you will come, trust him today. I'll tell you, friend, if you do, you'll leave God's house praising him. You'll leave God's house leaping for joy. You'll leave God's house rejoicing in the God of glory. And you'll leave God's house not only with a new song on your lips, but with assurance in your heart that you're going to heaven and that you'll never be in hell and that you'll never be lost forever and forever. Now, take a look at Exodus chapter 15 again, because not only do we see the timing of this song and the triumph of this song, but notice the theme of this song of victory. The theme of this song is praise to God. This song is sung in honor to God. Look what it says in verse 2. I will exalt him. In other words, I will exalt the Lord. This song is not to exalt Moses and Aaron. And it's very important that you note that. This song is not to exalt the elders of Israel. It is to exalt and praise Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. Now, I want you to notice how God is praised in this song. First of all, God's power is praised. Look at verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap. And so on and so forth. So you can see here that this song of praise is exalting the power of God. It is acknowledging that what has just happened in the Red Sea has happened because of the power and strength of the God of glory. So Moses and the children of Israel, they're not praising themselves or exalting themselves here. They know that what has been done by the power of God. Notice also that they praise God's mercy. Take a look at verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Look at verse 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, let the people pass over which thou hast purchased.
We can see here the mercy of the Lord being praised.
Take a look at verse 11. And you'll notice that God's holiness is praised. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And of course, you'll notice also in verse 11, at the end of it there, we've just read it, that God's person is praised. So here we have Moses and the children of Israel singing this song of praise. And this song is directed towards the Lord, praising the Lord for what he has done, for his power, for his mercy, for his holiness, for his person, lifting up the Lord, praising the God of heaven in every way. Child of God, the theme of our praise must always be the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, but three persons in that Godhead. We're familiar with the catechism which asks the question, are there more gods than one? And the answer, there is but one God, the living and true God. Then the catechism asks the question, how many persons are there in the Godhead? The answer is given. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. And in catechism 4, the question is asked, what is God? And the answer is given. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. We're all familiar with those catechisms. We're all familiar with those truths. Men and women, the truth is that God never changes. Therefore, the praise that is worthy to him should never change. Well, let us praise him today for his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. May his praise be continually upon our lips. The God of glory, the God of heaven, is worthy of all our praise. Not only this day, but every day. Not only this moment, but every moment. And, of course, we're familiar with that text of Scripture which states concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. And as we come before the Lord today and worship him, let us recognize that he is all-powerful. Let us recognize that he is the holy God of Israel. Let us recognize that he is merciful and that his mercy does endure forever. And it endures to every generation. Let us remember who he is, the covenant-keeping God. Oh, let the theme of our worship always be this mighty God of glory. Notice something else. Take a look at Exodus chapter 15 again. And you'll notice, fourthly, the thrilling predictions of this song of victory. This song of victory reveals to us three clear predictions or prophecies concerning what will take place in the future. All these predictions came to pass for the children of Israel. First of all, Israel's enemies will fear. Fear will take hold of Israel's enemies when they hear what the Lord has done for them at the Red Sea. Look at verse 14 again. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the dukes of Edom shall be ashamed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Well, we haven't got the time this morning, but you read Numbers 22 verse 3 and read Joshua 2 verses 9 to 11 And you will read there how the fear of the children of Israel came upon their enemies as the children of Israel made their journeys throughout the wilderness and then into the land of Canaan. The fear of the children of Israel came upon their enemies. God here is predicting this here. And of course, that prediction came to pass. Take a look at verse 17, and you'll notice that Israel's inheritance was secure. Look at verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in. This is speaking about how the Lord would bring them into the promised land and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. And of course that came to pass. Because the Lord eventually brought the children of Israel across the wilderness and into the promised land. God kept his word. Look at verse 18. And you'll notice here that Israel's God would reign forever. It says, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. And of course, the Lord is still reigning and the Lord will always reign. For he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, the thrilling predictions of the Song of Victory. You know, on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ defeated our enemies. On the cross, Christ provided for us eternal salvation. We have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. All that God has promised his people, he will perform. And that's the wonderful truth that is brought out here again in this portion of Scripture. God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his truth and keeps his word. When Christ rose again from the dead, he proved that he was the eternal God who will reign forever and forever. Child of God, we have much to praise God about today for his salvation and for his redemption. All that God has promised us in that salvation that he has given to us will come to pass. He will provide our need according to his riches and glory. He will bring us safely home to heaven. Someday he will give us that mansion in glory. I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 1 for a moment. The last book in the Bible. And I want you to take a look at what it says here about the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and our great Savior. Revelation 1 verse 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega. Underline that. Christ is the first and the last. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The God that brought the children of Israel safely across the Red Sea and defeated their enemies. The God that Moses and the children of Israel are singing about and lifting up their voices in praise to, is the same God that we serve today. Never forget that. Look at verse 17 of Revelation chapter 1. And when I saw him, the Lord Jesus Christ, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. We ought to fear him. Child of God, you and I ought to fear him. No, it's not a fear of dread. It's a fear of grieving the Father's love. We ought to want to walk with him and serve him with all our hearts and souls and minds. We ought not to want to sin against him. We ought not want to grieve him in any way. But sinner, you need to fear the Lord. Because someday you're going to meet him. This God that we're talking about, that divided the Red Sea. This God that defeated Pharaoh and his army in the midst of the Red Sea. This God that Moses and the children of Israel sang praises to. This God that we read about in Revelation chapter 1, who has the keys of hell and death. You're going to have to meet him too. And someday if you're not saved, he'll open up hell. He'll open up the door of hell and he'll just cast you into it. But oh, for the children of God, for those of us who are redeemed, we'll never know what it is to be lost in hell, because he has given unto us. He has given unto us. Given unto us. He has given you, child of God. He has given me something that we could not give ourselves. He has given unto us eternal life, and we will never perish. Neither will any man pluck us out of his hand. Listen, is that not something to sing about today? Is that not something to praise God about today? So, don't go about as if God's dead. Don't go about as if everything is defeated. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the God of heaven. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Remember that. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word today. We've only quickly and briefly looked at this song of victory. But how it has thrilled our hearts. How it has thrilled our souls. And Lord, we lift up our hearts to thee today, and we thank thee for sending your only Son to die upon a cross. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus was willing to come and redeem us. Lord, we're going to find out tonight more about this wonderful salvation from Exodus chapter 15. And oh God, I pray that you'll, Lord, help us more in these days to praise the Lord for what he has done for us. Oh God, surely, as the apostle said in Hebrews, surely, Lord, our praise should be continually upon our, thy praise should be continually upon our lips. God, come today and revive us. Send us a breath of revival. Lord, when the children of Israel were brought safely over on dry ground, when they saw their enemies defeated, how they were revived. How they saw again the power of God. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. Let us see again the power of God in our midst. Let us see again the power of God in this country of ours. Oh God, this country that's fast heading to hell. Living for sin and in sin. Oh God, come afresh and send us a breath of revival. Let us see the power of God again in our families. Let us see the power of God again in our churches. Let us see the power of God again. And surely, Lord, when we see that afresh, then we will do what Moses and the Israelites did. Oh God, we will praise the God of heaven. Lord, bless your word to every heart. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Hymn number